So shalom again, and not only those who are here present, all right, at our in-person celebration, but also those online as well, online church. We live in a very strange world right now, isn't it? It is so uncomfortable. We are learning to adjust to different things. And so I pray that as the weeks go by, we will all learn to adjust. Let me try to use the other mic. We will all learn to adjust to a different way of living life. And so let's keep each other in prayer as well, so that in all that we do, that we are mindful that the presence of God is wherever we are and whatever we do. Amen. Because God is 24/7, is not determined by where we are. So whether you're here in person or those on online church, God's presence is here. Amen. If you can hear me, just give me a wave, even those on the TV screen. Right? Okay, good. And so I'm also very mindful that 90% of our church is online, actually. All right, they're all online. And so, you know, over the many weeks now, over 5 months, actually, I find it very difficult to speak to people now. Right? And so I'm so used to looking at the camera. So I think over time, they will be asking me, please look at the people. It used to be that, please look at the camera. So it's totally the other way around. But it's an amazing experience to be able to realize that even through our recordings, all right, God can touch so many, many different lives. So let's keep, you know, Lebanon in prayer as well. We have prayed about Beirut just now. I want you to know that it is not that distant away in terms of the relationship with us. In fact, you know, through the network of pastors that we have, we actually know a church in Beirut called the Resurrection Church, and a pastor by Pastor Hikmat, his name. And his church is only 20 minutes away from the bomb, the explosion site. And so we have sent, all right, some funds over to say that we are with you. We want you to help as many people as you can. So the church in Malaysia is also standing with you. In fact, we are right now processing 60,000 ringgit to be sent over, not only to Resurrection Church, but also through working with an organization called Tear Fund. All right, so I want you to know we are not just praying. We're actually involved, all right, in making sure that we reach out to the people over there as well. So why don't we just continue to pray for Beirut, especially. We know that nothing happened by chance, but lots of somehow use that to make a powerful impact of the gospel upon their lives. Amen? All right, so why don't we hold up our Bible? As always, we want to, you know, read the Bible together. So let's, I know you have not been doing this in the hall for some time, for those of you in the inline church, okay? But I am so glad to be able to do this, to stand on this stage here and lift up the Bible. And those of you online as well, can you make sure you do that? Lift up your Bible, whether hard copy or soft copy of Bible, and repeat together with me. Right, this is my Bible. Are you ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instruct my behavior. So help me, God. And we're going to declare together the Word of God on the screen for those of you online as well. Read it aloud together with the people here in person. All right, ready? One, two, go. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And from John chapter 16, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now here in this place, in every home, Lord, where this online church is being viewed from. We want to pray for your presence, God, to be with us, that in all that we hear from the Word of God, may it stir our hearts, God, to a posture of obedience, that we may live life, Lord, in honor of you, God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, last weekend, I preached on the first sermon of the three sermon series. Now, if you remember, I said that this three sermon series have to do, last weekend was we can hear Him personally. And this weekend, I'm going to preach about we can hear Him what? Clearly. All right? And next weekend, I have Pastor Chris M. to come up here to share with us we can hear Him corporately. Now, just a quick recap. Last weekend, I mentioned that, you know, I asked you three questions about we can hear him personally. And these are the three questions I asked you. I said, can I hear the voice of God? And in John chapter 10, verse 27, where it says there, what the word of God says, not what I say, but the word of God says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So we can and do hear the voice of God. Are we clear about that? We can and we do hear the voice of God. And the second question I ask is, what's preventing me from hearing the voice of God? And I say that we are way too busy and too distracted in our everyday life, that we have not developed the stillness in our spirit to hear the voice of God, because God is speaking all the time. But the question is, are we still enough to hear, to make time to hear God? So in Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And then I asked the last question, how do I move forward? And I said, the way to move forward, the first thing we need to do is repent. We need to repent that, you know, we have, in that sense, we do not desire to hear the voice of God, and allowing our carnal and sinful nature to take over, meaning we want to run our own life without hearing what the Lord has to say. So we need to repent. So that was the thing I said last weekend, and I pray that it will stir in you something in your heart. To then ask the next question, can we hear him clearly? Right? So therefore, this sermon is about we can hear him clearly. And here's the big idea. The big idea is just the title of the sermon. We can hear his voice clearly. Everyone say, we can hear his voice clearly. Right? And so let me clarify first before I move on. Clarify two issues here. Number one, what the voice is not, all right? What the voice is not. Number one is this, it is not a mental condition. Some of you, I know, were asking me, Pastor, if I'm hearing voices in my mind, is that from the Lord? Okay, there's a difference there. It's not a mental condition, all right, that you hear certain voices, okay? So it is not. It is about you and I, ordinary Christians who move about our daily life, having a personal relationship with God, and like in any relationship, God talks to me and I talk to God, all right? So it is not a mental condition. So I want you to separate that, all right? So number two, it is not necessary an audible voice. Because some of you are wondering, would I therefore hear the audible voice of God like what we normally would hear as we talk to one another? So I thought I would like to clarify that in case you think that it is an audible voice that you hear, right? And it can, but it is not, most of the time it's not, right? Most of the time, there are some people we know can hear, but it's, even that is not all the time. And let me explain to you why. In John chapter 4, verse 24, this is what it says. Let's read aloud together. Ready? One, two, go. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And so what this passage is saying is this, that communication with God is actually spirit to spirit. It is not brain to brain, all right, or what I call from mouth to ear, like the way we communicate in this physical realm. So the Lord, in other words, because his spirit, he speaks to us through our spirit, not in words, as in we hear the audible words, all right? So he speaks to us in the spirit, but in thoughts and impressions, in thoughts and impressions, okay? So if you understand this, then you will be able to understand when I said hearing the voice of God. For example, often our spirit will tell us, all right, I believe everyone of here has experienced that, including those of you on online. You would experience this. You have this thought that comes to your mind, and it goes like this. I think the Lord wants me to do this or to do that. Have you had that kind of a thought? I think the Lord wants me to do that, or to do this or do that. Usually God will not come to you in that thought to say, now you do this and you do this, right? It's usually a thought that comes to you that says, I think the Lord wants me to do this or that. And then after working through that, you find that, you know, you make a decision to say, I think the Spirit is asking me to do this. Therefore, I will go ahead and do this. All right. Now, these are just thoughts going through your mind, and every one of us have experienced that, right? Just give me a wave if you have experienced that. I believe all of us have, right? So now, here's the challenge here. We often miss the leading of the Lord, thinking that it's our own thoughts. See, we get confused. We thought that it is not the Lord's thoughts. We thought it's our own thoughts, therefore we brush it aside. That is why it's so crucial for you to understand this. We can hear the Lord's voice clearly through the thoughts and the impression that He has given to us. Now, I believe also many of us have this experience as well. You have this sort of a nagging feeling sometimes when you have to do something, or maybe someone asks you to do something, and there's this nagging feeling that you have. I give you an example. There was one time we had to make a collective decision. Now, in that collective decision, actually, the decision we're about to make is a good decision. In fact, it is something good that we are doing, something that even sounded very right to do. But somehow, although everyone around me sort of agreed to that, but somehow I have this nagging feeling. I couldn't explain it. I just knew that it wasn't really what we ought to do, right? But because everyone was sort of in agreement to that, I said, okay, maybe I'm wrong. They are right, all right? But that nagging feeling didn't go off. In fact, to cut the whole long story short, whatever that decision we're trying to make, it didn't pull through. All right, it didn't got through. And I knew that what I felt was actually right. It was the Lord's voice into my life to say, no, that's not the way you should go. Right? Of course, that taught me something as well. Popular the support does not mean it's the right decision. Right? Often you need to hear the voice of God to be clear. So, how many of you have experienced that as well? This nagging feeling in you that although everyone seems to say, yeah, that's the way you should go, but you know that it is something that you should not be doing. That nagging feeling, all right? I'm sure many of you would have that as well, all right? But unfortunately, we cannot differentiate what is God's voice and what is our voice. But let me say this to you, with thoughts and impression, God always speak to us in a still, small voice. And some of you have learned to recognize this. And that become really, really powerful when you begin to walk that way. So then next question, how do we therefore, hear the voice of God? Right? How do we hear the voice of God? Let me give you a quick few steps here. Because now that you know that you can and do hear the voice of God, so how do you hear the voice of God? So there are four steps that I want to just quickly share with you, although that's not the main gist of my message here, but I thought it'd be good for you to actually walk through, even in your own life, these four steps to help you to know whether you're actually learning to hear the voice of God, all right? And they're not difficult things. They're actually simple things that everyone of us here can do. So the first thing is this, that you must have a desire, right? I mean, that is almost a silly question to ask. You must have a desire to want to hear the voice of God, right? If you don't want to, God will never force it on you, all right? So, you must have a desire. In James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. And so, you must have a desire. So, you pray, God, give me a desire. Lord, I do desire to want to hear Your voice. And second thing is this, you must set aside a daily time to be still before God. Remember, one of the challenges to us is that we are not still enough. So you need to set aside a daily time with God to be still before Him, because that's the way God speaks to you, teaching you how to do that. Now, someone asked me, does God still speak today? Of course He still speaks today. In fact, through the Bible. God speaks to you, in fact, 24/7, if you really want to know whether God speaks to you, is through the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. Of course, He does speak to you. But more than He's speaking to you through reading the Word of God, I believe God will also speak to you in a way unique to you. All right. So I want to explain that later on. How do you know that is God's voice? But you need to set aside a daily time. So are you doing that? If you have a desire, are you making time? To be still before God. And then the third thing is this, that you must read His Word, obviously. You need to read His Word and journal your thoughts. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, as you make time with Him every day, you begin to discern, first of all, the voice of God through His Word. Right? You will actually begin to realize that this is God's voice to you. And then, I want to encourage you, in DOMC, this is what we challenge everyone to do. Not only do you read the Word of God every day, you journal. Now, why is it important that you journal? Because if you don't journal, you're simply reading the words of God. Without journaling, just reading the Word of God, you just store it in your mind. That's it. But when you journal, you begin to process through what you are reading, what you're storing in your mind. Because you cannot write something without processing it. Some of us just read it every day in a rush. And we read through it, we don't process it. So when you journal, you force yourself to actually think through what you have just read. And you'll be surprised over time as you journal. In fact, this is my experience. I've been journaling for years now. And God speaks to me through my journaling. Many of the thoughts that I wrote, anyway, look back one day, I say, that's amazing, God. You spoke to me during that time. All right? And so journaling will help you acquire the habit of putting God's voice to you on paper. Right? And that is a matter of discipline, a matter of learning how to do that. So you must have a desire. You need to set a daily time every day. And then you need to read His Word and journal your thoughts. So if you have not started journaling, can I encourage you to do that? And we have equipping classes that actually help you or teach you how to do that. And fourthly, the last thing is this, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So you don't go and try to read the Word of God journal without the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. You need to invite the Holy Spirit into into what you're doing so that the Holy Spirit will speak to you what He has in mind, what God is saying. So let me give you a passage here. In John chapter 16, where it says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. This is an amazing, amazing part. You see, when you read the Word of God, you are not trying to discover it for yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth. So when you don't understand a certain passage, you say, you just need to pray, Holy Spirit, please help me here, right? Please help me to understand it. So He will guide you into all truth. And then He goes on, He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. Meaning that whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you is what He heard from the Father, right? So it is a good thing to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then He goes on, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Meaning that He will tell you even what's going to happen. All right, how do you prepare yourself for the things about a decision you're about to make or about something that you're going through in your life? He will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you as you read the Word of God. And then He goes on to say there, He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, I need to go to the Father so that I send the Holy Spirit to you so that He may guide you into all truth. So when you go into reading the Word of God, even wrestling through this thing about hearing the voice of God, you are not trying to do this alone. You are basically saying, Holy Spirit, please help me. Bring the Holy Spirit along in what you're trying to do. And so I want you to remember, always, all right, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, even as we now consider this whole thing about hearing the voice of God. All right, now come to the crux of what I'm trying to say even today. This is the question every one of us have in our mind. How do we know whether it's our own voice, the voices of the world, or the voices of demonic beings? How do we know that? I'm sure this is a question all of you are wrestling through right now. Pastor, you just told me that I can and do hear the voice of God. Now that I'm making time every day to be still before God, so how do I know whether it is my own voice or whether it is the voices of the world or the voices of demonic beings or the voices of God? Right? So I believe that's a good question. Now, like in most things, right, in Scripture, do you know the Scripture doesn't give you formulas, doesn't give you methods? The Scripture doesn't give you a method on how to heal, for example. If you follow step one, step two, step three, healing will take place. The Bible doesn't give you formulas on how to do ministry, how to go to the mission field. It doesn't do that, all right? Because there is a good reason why God doesn't do that to us, because He wants us to be led by the Spirit. He wants us to be led by the Spirit as we know His Word well. He doesn't want to give us formulas. Why? Because knowing human beings, the moment God gives you formulas, it becomes magic. Thinking that if you follow a certain pattern, say a certain word, things will happen. There's no dependence on God anymore. It's dependent on the method. It's dependent on the formula. So this is the common pattern I have observed in Scripture. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be filled by the Spirit. Scripture says we need to walk by the Spirit to keep in step with the Spirit. So there's no formula. God does not give you a formula even in hearing the voice of God, because He wants you to be led by the Spirit. So, hearing the voice of God. Now, what if somebody walks up to you, this is what he says, okay? Somebody walks up to you, and he says, you know, God told me that tomorrow I need to go to the sports Toto shop, all right, to buy the ticket. And when I hit first prize, I will give 10% to the church. Right? If someone comes up to you and asks that question, how would you answer that question? This person genuinely believes that God told him, you know, that God asked me to go to the sports Toto shop, buy a ticket, and hit first prize. And when I hit the first prize, Pastor, I will give it to you 10%. Sounds good, right? But what voice is that? Now, I want you to keep that in your mind, okay? Because as you think about that, I'm going to help you apply right at the very end. How then do you discern? How do you help people to discern this is or not the voice of God? One example I'm often very amused is the story of Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Bible will know this story, where Apostle Peter, all right, was actually asked by Jesus, okay? Who do you say that? No need to have the music on now, later on, yeah. You know, this is where, you know, Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? Right, what was Peter's reply? He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And when he said that, you know, Jesus turned to Peter and said, truly, God has revealed that to you. Meaning that, Peter, you heard the voice of God. Right? And then, once Jesus affirmed Peter, Jesus explained to the disciples that he's going to the cross and be killed. All right? And Peter got so upset, he took Jesus aside. In fact, the Bible says he rebuked Jesus. He said, how can you say something like that, Jesus? You're supposed to come and save us, all right? You are the Lord, the King, all right? How can you die? So he said, you know, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now remember, this has happened just a few seconds after Jesus just affirmed Peter that God has revealed this to you. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said this, very interestingly, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Now in that few seconds, Peter heard the voice of God, and Peter heard the voice of the devil. See, that is a struggle, even for Peter himself. Which is the voice of God? So here you have an example here that in a split second, there could be a few voices. How do you know which is the voice of God? So here's a passage from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dearly beloved, don't always believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it, just because you hear a voice in your mind, says it's a message from God. Like this man who said, God told me to go to Sports Toto to buy a ticket. All right? Same thing here. All right? Don't, just because they say it's from God, does not mean it's from God. In fact, test it first to see it really is. But there are many false teachers around. So what must we do? We must test. Everyone say, test. Right? So we must test everything that goes around, whether you hear it through your ear, physical ear, or whether you are receiving this in your thoughts. We need to test them.
So when we apply this test, I'm going to suggest to you, there could be more tests, but in my own study, I believe there are five important tests that you must have, all right, to help you discern what is the voice of God. So number one, all right, very quickly, is it biblical? Is it biblical? Right? Does the Bible agree with what's been heard or said? Does it agree? Right? Does it agree what I've just heard? The Bible agrees with it, right? Now, if it is not, then it is not from God. It's as simple as that. It's not a difficult test. God will not contradict himself. He will not. He will not tell you something and contradict what he just said in the Word of God. For example, some of you may wake up, all right, tomorrow morning because your tax is due, not 31st of August, right, for those who are having a business income. Right, you may wake up tomorrow and say, God just told me I don't need to pay taxes. Is that from God? I know it's not from God. Why? Because the Word of God is very clear. When Jesus was challenged, should we pay taxes, right, to the Romans? What did Jesus say? Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. In other words, he's telling them, pay your taxes. Okay, you're under the authority of the country that you come from. So, is it biblical? So I will be very cautious with anyone who says that they're hearing from God all the time. Do you have people like that you know of? They say they hear from God all the time. The next question I often ask people like that, you hear from God all the time, huh? Let me ask you, do you read the Bible all the time or not? Do you read it or not? Do you understand the Word of God? Because I'll be very cautious with anyone who says they hear the Word of God, but they don't read the Word of God. I'll be very cautious about that. Right. So number one, this is only the first test. Is it biblical? Now the second test is also quite a simple test. This is a test of asking this question: is it helping me to be Christ-like? Is it helping me to be more like Jesus in what I'm hearing? So our tagline is love God, serve people, make disciples towards Christ-likeness. So is what I'm hearing from God helping me to be more Christ-like? Am I more like Jesus from what I'm hearing? If it is not, then it's not from the Lord. You see, we need to ask ourselves what we hear. Is this what Jesus would want me to do? Is it consistent with who Jesus is? For example, Jesus has the fruit of the Spirit, right? Of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He will not ask me, God will not ask me to do anything that it will be against, for example, the fruit of the Spirit, of love, of peace, right, of joy. So, for example, someone may come up to me and say, Pastor, I've got this great business idea. This business idea will help me make millions, okay? And in that business idea, when I help millions, Pastor, then I can give some to the church, you know, all right? Somehow people can justify things by saying, I give it to the church, all right? But the point is that when I begin to talk to this person and I discover that this business plan would actually cause a lot of environmental damage. It will destroy the livelihood of certain group of people. In fact, it will benefit him and hurt many people along the way with that business plan. And so when he say he heard something like that from God, I will use this test. Is it helping you to be more Christ-like? If it is not, it is not from God. Is that clear enough? Right. So does it help you or me to be more Christ-like? So that's the second question. The third question is this question here. Is there confirmation from the church family? Is there confirmation for the church family? The beauty of the Christian life is this, that we do not need to live life alone by ourselves, figuring things out. God has given us the body of Christ called the church. And we thank God for the church. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, his intent was that now, through the church, I want you to sort of underline that three words there, through the church, okay? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that is really a powerful verse to say that through the church, through the body of believers, you and I, through the collective believers of Christ, that God will make known his manifold wisdom. God will make known his eternal purpose through the church. God is not saying he will only reveal through one person. He's not saying he revealed it through the pastor alone. He's revealing it through the collective church. God is going to use the church to help you do that test, to confirm it through others, what you're hearing from God. It is never on your own. It's always through the church. So if you really believe that what you heard is the voice of God, you will also believe that God will confirm it through others. No single Christian can say, I hear the voice of God rightly. The moment he says that, I knew it is not the voice of God already. Because he refused to submit to the body of Christ. And that is why it is so important that you belong to a cell group. Now I want to stress that again. It is very important that you belong to a cell group. Why? Because much of what you go through in life, as you hear from God, certain decisions that you have to make, who do you go to in affirming that what you're hearing from God? Because if you're only attending church like this every weekend, and you have no body of Christ that you relate to, when you hear the voice of God, who do you check it with? How do you know? So that is why you need to belong to a cell group. If you're not in a cell group, can I urge you, encourage you, if not beg you to be part of one? Because that is the safest way to know whether you're actually hearing from God. I give you an example. One of the cell members came up to me one day and said that, like all good young men, they're looking for a wife, right? And he sort of liked this particular girl in the cell group. He came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, because I'm a cell member too, right? So naturally he comes up to me and said, Pastor, I want to know whether what I'm thinking right now of this girl that God has brought to my attention. You see, he was very careful here. God has brought to my attention. Is it really from God telling me that she is the one? Right? She wasn't sure. Her heart, of course, if he followed his heart, he would have gone ahead. Yeah, God told me. I'm very clear. He may walk up to that girl and say, God told me that you will be my girlfriend. He can do that too, right? But because of the body of Christ, he came to me and said, what do you think, Pastor? You know, to cut a whole long story short, I heard him out. I helped him, all right, to process his thoughts. And at the end, after he processed that through, he came back and said, now I'm sure. And today they are married, okay? They are married today. So thank God for that, right? But I thank God that he has a member of the body of Christ that he can ask, all right, to pray with him. But on the other hand, do you know we also know of relationships that everyone around says, don't get married. Don't get married. It's a bad idea, all right? Everyone is saying it, but they are so sure that it is God telling them, all right? And there are a few cases I've dealt with like this, right? They went ahead anyway. In spite of the body of Christ, in fact, many told them, bad idea. They went ahead anyway. And I remember so distinctly one couple, after 3 years of their marriage, they were sitting right in my office. All right? They are about to get divorced. In fact, today they are divorced. They sat down in front of me. And they say, Pastor, before you say anything, I know what you're going to say to us. So what do you think I will say to you? All right? And they say, I told you so, right, Pastor? You're going to tell me that? Yeah. I was going to say it to you. I told you, not only I told you so, we told you so. Right? And so here, wisdom would be that we have people in our lives that can actually counsel us whether we are hearing rightly from God. Let me tell you the principle here. Listen carefully, young people here, right, and those on online church as well, listen very carefully. The principle is this. If a mature believer questions it, you should question it too. If a mature believer questions it, you must question it too. In whatever decision you have to make, whatever you're hearing from the Lord. I'm not saying that people are, you know, infallible. people will still, you know, make mistakes, but there is strength in the body of Christ. For example, in this passage here, you can be ruined by the talk of godless people, but the wisdom of the righteous can save you. The wisdom of the righteous can save you. Another proverb says that where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So thus, the church confirms it in what you're going through in life, the voices that you hear. So I'm going to start another series 2 months now on the importance of belonging to a church, why each of us must belong to this body of Christ. This truth is so powerful, right? In such a way that it will help us in living our life well in the Lord. So, 3 questions. Now, the fourth question is this simple question here. After asking the first three, the fourth question is this for me or not? Is what I'm hearing for me? Let me explain to you what I mean. Is what I'm hearing, what God is telling me, in line with the way God purposed me? In the way that God has uniquely made me, with my talents and my giftings. You see, there are many needs around us, many, many needs. But you are not called to fulfill all these needs. Right? You're not meant to. Right? Somebody else may be meant to do that, but not necessarily you. Right? So we have to be very careful here. That is why we need to ask this question, is this for me? For example, in John chapter 21, verse 18 to 22, you know, Peter was told by Jesus in what manner he would die. Now, this is not a very nice thing for someone to tell you. This is how you would die. Okay? And so Peter must be quite, you know, wondering, you know, wow, if this is the kind of death I would have because of my faith in Christ. He turned around, looked at the back, and saw Apostle John, you know. All right? And then this is what he told Jesus. Jesus, you just told me this about how I would die. What about him, Apostle John? Okay? What about Apostle John? And this is what Jesus answered, right? If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me, right? In today's language, what is that to you means, in today's language, why are you so busybody? Why are you, in Malaysian language, why are you so kepo? Right? Why do you bother what I tell that person? Okay? I would tell him when I need to tell him. So this is my point here, right? You see, God will speak to me first, and God will speak to others. It is not for me to try to be a busybody and listen for others. If God wants me to listen to others, he will tell me. He will tell me that you need to tell that person. Otherwise, don't be a busybody, right? Why? Because we all need to learn to hear for ourselves. Why? Because it's so clear. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And God will come along and tell you, all right, what you need to do. Only unless he tells you to tell that person, you have no business doing that unless it's a clear directive from God. Because God will speak to that person, all right? But there are times God will ask us to speak to that person. Why? Because God has already spoken to that person and he wants us to go there and confirm it. You understand this part here? It is very important, all right? Often people misuse the prophetic gift to think that I can listen for other people, okay? Because I'm so clear in my mind that God will speak to every body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ. He will speak to them. Why? Because every sheep will hear his voice. The only time I will go to him is when I need to confirm what God has already spoken to that person. And so this is something that is very important even as a church we need to learn. Otherwise, we throw around, God told me this for you. God told me this for that. Do you know how much that statement has destroyed people? We use what I call the God card. God told me. That is why it's so important to test that. Right? I give you an example for this particular question here. You know, much of all that, you know, as I took on the leadership of DUMC in 2016, much of the direction as I lead DUMC comes from my quiet time with the Lord. Okay? It's my time spending with God every day. He will tell me about the tagline. He would tell me about the five core habits that we have. He would tell me about Impact 2020. He would tell me about a sermon series, all right? And it's all through just learning to hear God's voice, all right? And I remember that when I was coming in first year as a senior pastor, all right, I was still working through, what is it, God, that you have in the future for DUMC? And God used this speaker on that conference in 2016 and to ask me this question, all right? And he asked this. He said, you know, what is one word that would describe DUMC? Okay, he asked me that question. It's a very interesting question. What is one word that would describe DUMC? So it started stirring in my mind. So God, what is that one word? I think that's a great question, God. Right? God was using that speaker to stir my mind, you see? And then I realized that it was something God has already spoken to me about 2 years ago, and I forgot about it, right? And 2 years ago, I went on a retreat with my wife, a prayer retreat, to ask God this very question, God, what would DUMC be like when we finally finish our term here in DUMC? Same question, all right? And I totally forgot about that. And that speaker asked me that question. I forgot, all right? I've forgotten about that word. And interestingly, 4 days later, after he asked me that question, I received a Facebook message. Interesting, of all places, Facebook sent me a message to say, memories 2 years ago. Right? Memories 2 years ago. I read that memories 2 years ago. It described to me what I heard from the Lord. And the Lord gave me that word, that one word, which I've forgotten. And that word is Christ-likeness. Now, this is very interesting. Something God has already spoken to me about, and God used a speaker now to ask me that question, hey, remember, I gave you that word. And God used Facebook to remind me. Do you think God can speak through Facebook? God can use a donkey, by the way. God used Balaam's donkey to speak. Right? So God can use Facebook if he wants to use Facebook. That's what I'm saying. Right? So I think, is it for me? Is this for me? God will speak to you about that. And one last question as we work through, is it biblical? Is it helping me to be Christ-like? Is there confirmation from the church family? Is this for me? The fifth test is an important test. The final test is this test here. Is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your heart? Because God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says there, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. You see, God is a God of peace. When he tells you something, all right, it will be one of peace. There will be no confusion. There will be no frustration. There will be no upsetness, I call it. Right? And here in this passage here, when we are confused about many things, I want you to look at verse 7 here. It said, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, most of the things, you know, in fact, I would say 80-90% of the things God will speak to us is our encouragement, is our peace. The only time when we are frustrated and upset is when we live in disobedience. But when we're living in Christ, the voice of God will be one of encouragement or peace. I remember reading in a group text, you know, in this particular group there, there's this brother, you know, he's always talking about how he sends God's voice. But in that text, there's always fear. There's always confusion. There's always insecurity. Sometimes he wondered whether God loves him. He said, God told me that, you know, God, I feel that God is judging me. Right? Immediately, I look at that and I say, this is not from the Holy, not from the Holy Spirit. It is not from God. That's either his own voice or the voice of the devil. All right. And so these are the five tests I hope you will remember. These are not difficult tests. All right. Is it biblical? Is it helping to be more Christ-like? Is there confirmation from the church family? Is this for me? So I want to end this by asking the same question that I was asking about Sports Toto just now. All right. Someone comes to you and says, Pastor, God just told me to go out there, buy the ticket, and win first prize, and give 10% to the church. So let's apply the five tests. Right? So is it biblical? Is it biblical to go out there and buy Sports Toto? Right? You are good Christians here. I can see you're doing this. Of course not. It is not a good thing. Why? Because the spirit of gambling is that is a dependence on luck. It's not a dependence on God. So it is not biblical. Number two, is it helping me to be Christ-like? That person, is it helping him to be Christ-like? No, because you are encouraging what I call greed. It's not helping him to be Christ-like, right? Third, is there confirmation from the body of Christ? Many of you, when I ask that question, you're already shaking your head this way. There, here's the confirmation. No, don't do that, right? Is it for me? You see, in the mind of that brother, he's saying that, okay, I want to help the church, so let me go and buy sports toto. From the winning, I'll give 10% to the church. I would say to this brother, it's not for you. God don't need your money there. All right? It's not for you to help the church this way. It is not for you. All right? And then finally, is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your heart? Okay? And I don't think so. I don't think there's a peace in your heart when you're still wallowing in the sins of your life. There's definitely no peace in your heart when you make a decision, all right, that is not in line with what God has said. Right? And so here, why do we need to hear the voice of God? All right, very simply, one passage of Scripture that says, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. If God is directing your life, wouldn't you want to hear what God is saying about your life? Wouldn't you want to know what He's saying about what's going to happen in your life as He lead and guide you through life? So you need to learn to hear the voice of God for your sake. You need to learn to hear the voice of God for your ministry. You need to hear the voice of God for your family. You need to hear the voice of God even for your business and your workplaces, for your career. Why? Because our steps are directed by the Lord. And I want to end with this particular thing that I came across. It says that prayer is asking God to align you with His will rather than asking Him to be aligned with yours. See, often we go to God with a list of things that we want to do our way. If you truly have listened to God's voice, you will learn to recognize that often your will is not the Lord's will. You begin to align that back to God. Now, how do you do that? I've given you the key. The key is make time with God every day. Journal. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And this is my prayer for you, even today. I'm going to pray for you. You know, we can't have many ministry time here, but I believe ministry will happen where you are, where you're seated. Why don't we all stand? All right, let's stand right now. And leave our hands to the Lord. Those on online church as well, you leave your hands to the Lord. Because I'm going to pray a prayer over you, that God will speak to you in a clear way. You apply the five tests that I've talked about, and you're going to discern over time clearly what is the voice of God. You will know by instinct, because you have heard the voice enough to know that's the voice of God. Some of us struggle through that because we have not learned the habit of learning what it means to hear from God. But I believe this is a journey. Many of you, years down, will look back how this has changed your life. So will you come with a sincere desire before God as you draw near to Him right now? Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that You will bring every person right now to a place of alignment. A place of alignment where You say that My sheep will hear My voice. And today, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and begin to tune our ears, God, through our daily time with You, through our daily time reading Your Word, through our daily time in journaling down and processing through what I have just read and what I think God is saying to me. And then, Holy Spirit, will You manifest Your presence powerfully, God, each day? That as my brother and sister learn to process through these words, they will hear the voice of God clearly. And so will You do that right now? Honor every desire here. Some of you are having to make decisions, I believe. Some of you are going through a tough time. Some of you are going through a situation in your life where really there's no answer. You know, by learning to hear the voice of God, and you know what that means by now, is that He will lead and He will guide you. You need patience. It may not be overnight thing. But the patience to hear, because this God here loves you so much that He wants to help you to be clear, so that He will lead you into where you need to go. So Holy Spirit, come and fill, God, every person right now, whether here on in-person celebration or in the online church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, give my brother and sisters here, God, an assurance in their heart that You are there with them on this one. And for some of you, especially on the online church, you may not be a Christian. You know, as you hear me, you're saying that, Pastor, I want to be able to hear the voice of God as well. Now, you can simply invite God into your life. It's not a difficult thing to do, because faith makes simple for us. It is a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do this by inviting Him by a simple prayer, which I'm going to pray in a very short while, you follow me in this prayer and invite this Jesus into your life and begin this journey of faith with God. And then you begin to discover that God can speak to you in a powerful way. And so if that's you, you're not a Christian, maybe you're backslided away from God, will you follow me in this simple prayer before, you know, I end, you know, with the benediction? But I feel it's very important that some of you, you know, God is speaking to you. You're not a Christian, but God has been speaking to you, and you need to respond to Him. There's a stirring in your heart. You know that you know that you need this God in your life. And so if that's you, you bow your heads right now. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. You follow me, and it's the beginning of this journey with God. Will you do that right now? Even those of us who may be on in-person service here, that you may have backslided away from God. Maybe, I don't know your condition, but you may want to just commit your life to the Lord. So why don't you bow your heads right now and pray this simple prayer in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for running my own life. I'm sorry that I have been determining my own plans for my life. Please forgive me for that. Please forgive me for all the sins of my life. Sins meaning the things that would prevent me, God, from going to You. And thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank You that, God, You love me. And Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross that I may not need to die, that I do not need to die on that cross. And invite You into my life as You've forgiven me of my sins. Please make me into a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, you know, like we have done every weekend, all right, go to that button on the screen that says raise hands. Right, click on that and someone will come alongside you as you fill in the details to help you in your spiritual journey with God. And for the rest of us on online, if you need prayer, okay, click on that button that says live prayer and someone will come on and pray with you, and we've seen breakthrough, even people praying online. And for the rest of us, thank you for coming. All right, I'm going to pray a prayer over you right now. Raise your hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer of benediction. Lord, thank You, God, for being with us here even this day. We want to pray that as we come, God, in honoring You as a body of Christ, we pray that as we go out, Lord, into whatever we're doing in the coming week, bless the works of our hands so that it will produce much fruit, God. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen. 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 Thank You, Lord.